Amen. So this morning, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be talking about faith. I know we've done, I think for the past couple of Sundays, apart from one, we've been looking at the life of faith. And we've looked at a number of things. We've looked at what is faith. We've looked at, how faith is important, how we can accomplish with faith. We looked at Nehemiah. We also looked at the characteristics of faith, looking at the life of Abraham and how, faith in God is different from like your everyday kind of faith. So today we're going to conclude today as we look at why faith and how do we get it? Why faith and how do we get it? Now, you might look and say, hang on, that seems so simple, for you theologians, like, come on, tell us something ground shaking. But I've come to understand that this is so fundamental to everything that we are as Christians that I believe that once we remind ourselves of this, or, just really look at this as God wants us to look at it, it will revolutionize our lives. So that's what I thought. Now, for the past couple of weeks, I've been having a lot of interesting thoughts that God has put in my heart about being a Christian. What does it really mean? And, as I've just been looking at that, one conclusion I've come to is the fact that, look, I believe God wants us to have a relationship that is alive with Him, not just something that is dry, something that we just say, okay, look, let me just mark this Bible reading off as a to-do on my to-do list and get it over with. No, our relationship with God should be alive. And for me, particularly, God has spoken so many things to me that it's like I'm like, this is just scratching the surface of it. And it's all based around faith. All right. So today we're going to look at faith. We're going to look at three things about faith. We'll just quickly look at what faith is again. We'll look at why faith is required. That's the second thing we'll look at. And the third thing we'll look at is how do we get faith? One thing I've now realized, and I'm realizing more and more, is that God is not complicated. He doesn't make things complicated for anyone at all. He makes things so simple that everybody can access these things. Young ones, a child can access it, an adult can access it, someone who's like a very academic person can access it, someone who is not academic at all can access it. So God has made it so simple. And I think sometimes because we're so used to things being, well, we sometimes feel that, look, for this thing to be as serious as it should be, it must be complicated. I mean, how can God make things so easy? I'm sure there has to be something more I can do. I have to probably, do more. This is so simple. How can this be? And this is really God's perspective. God has made everything so simple and accessible to every one of us. And Jesus was telling his disciples in one part of the Bible that, look, to access the things of God, you have to be like a little child. And he brought a child into their midst. And he said, look, you have to just, take everything I tell you as a child. Because I remember in that circumstance, I think they were bringing some children to him. And his disciples were like, no, keep the children away from Jesus. Jesus has a lot of important things to do. And I said, no, don't do that. Let the children come to me. And he made an illustration there that, look, for us to really enter the kingdom, we must have the attitude that children have, which is very simple, unassuming, nothing complicated at all. So that's how I just want us to, look at this. So I said, we'll look at what is faith, why is faith required, and how do we get faith? But before we look at those three parts, I just want to read a part from a scripture from the book of Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 10. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. We can look at it on the screen as well, or if we've got our Bibles, we can turn to it. And it's a story about a centurion. And back in those days, they had the Roman soldiers, and they kind of like split them into numbers. So I think a centurion was a soldier that had command of, I think, 100 soldiers, then, you know, different. So this centurion person sent a message to Jesus Christ, and that's what I'm just going to read now from Luke chapter 7, 1 to 10. It says, and I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion servant whom his master valued highly was ill and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation. He's built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not desire to have you to come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 9, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So we see a peculiar story here. This man sends a message to Jesus that my servant is ill. Please come to my house and heal him. And as Jesus was going there, he now sent another message and said, look, Jesus, I don't even think I'm worthy to have you under my roof. Just speak a word, and my servant to be healed. And Jesus looked and said, hang on, this is such great faith. Do you understand what I mean? So even Jesus identified, like, hang on, this is unusual. This man is saying, look, don't even bother coming to my house. I'm not worthy. Just speak a word, because I understand, paraphrasing, what faith is about. And the Bible tells us that when the servants returned to deliver the message to him, to the centurion, the servant was well. Now, the part I just want to pick out there is faith. How can one come to the place where you have this kind of faith? How do you grow into this kind of faith? Now, we see that this man wasn't even a religious person. He wasn't even a scribe or a Pharisee. And I'm sure that must have even made it even slightly more interesting. Now, hang on, this simple centurion guy, who's not even a priest, who's not even an evangelical church member, has so much faith. So how do we get that? We'll look at three things. So firstly, we want to see what is faith. And I think last time we looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So let's just look at quickly again what faith is. What is faith? Well, this is the NIV version. The King James version says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's King James version. The NIV version says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. Now, what I would just describe faith as, adding to this, is faith is just simple trust in God. Simple trust in God. Simple trust in God. What that means is this. If we can get to a place where we really trust God, theology doesn't come into this. Your knowledge of the Bible is good, but if it doesn't equate to just trusting God, then faith will be lacking. That's why Jesus was referring to a little child. I mean, if you had a nephew or a cousin or something that's like 2 years old, and you're their favorite auntie or favorite uncle, because they know that, look, this auntie, anytime she's coming, for Christmas, she brings me a gift. This child might just say, look, I think there's something I need. And I think I'm going to get it from this auntie. And this thing, unknown to him, is like maybe worth thousands of pounds. But he doesn't care about all that. All he knows is that, look, this auntie or this uncle will deliver because, I mean, I just trust that they will. This child runs to you and, you know, rolls around, tugs your shirt and said, uncle, auntie, can you buy that aeroplane that's in that sky? And they walk away. How you get it, whether you have the money to get it, that doesn't even cross their mind. All they know is that, look, this person will deliver. Do you understand? They just trust you. Do you understand what I mean? So in this instance, the Bible is telling us, Jesus is telling us here that, look, faith is not complicated. It's just simple trust in someone. Now, how do you build trust in someone? How do you get to that level? How does the child trust this uncle above that uncle? How does how does that happen? Or how do you, even in everyday terms, how do you trust one person above another person? How do you do that? That's what we'll look at the third part. How do we get faith? But before we go to that part, I want us to look at the second part here. And the second part is, why is faith required? Why are we even having this conversation about faith? Why do we need faith? Is it just something that, well, as a Christian, it's, you know, our preacher just talks about faith, well, so it must be important. You know, why is it really important? We'll look at three things. Now, the first thing is, faith is required for someone to be saved. And we look at that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for it is by grace that you are saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Now, this seems like, you know, it seems obvious, doesn't it? But this is one of the real challenges that we have in the world, because we're not used to having things given to us for free, particularly when it's something that's important. So we feel that, look, if anything is important, it requires a commensurate effort. Do you understand what I mean? So say, for example, my son comes to me. I'm just example, not for allegorically. He might say, look, if I want to get a sweet from my dad, I can just ask him because it's just a little sweet. I can ask him as we're driving home, dad, can we just park at the petrol station and get this 10p sweet, right? On the other hand, if he sees like a gadget and that gadget is like flying in the stores, they've been pumping it through television, advertising, get this, you know? He now evaluates that and says, if I'm going to get my parents to buy this, this looks like it's quite complicated. I think I'm going to devise a strategy. I can't just ask them while we're driving home because it seems really important. So that child begins to equate that, look, to get this thing, I need to do stuff. Maybe I need to smile more to my mom and dad when they come back from the office, hug them more, tell them, you know? So in the same way, with faith for salvation, we think, or people think, that we have to do something to earn God's faith or to earn salvation. But that's not what we're looking at the moment. We're just saying that faith is required for salvation. That means for anyone, and to remind ourselves as well, that we must believe God concerning the issue of salvation, that we are saved by faith. We are saved by faith. Not anything we've done, but just trusting that God has made a way for us. And that's how we're saved. Now, I'll move on to the second thing, which is Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Why is faith required? We need faith for salvation. We need faith to live the Christian life. This is the part that really applies to us now. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to the last, just as it is written. And this is the part that I want to really, you know, highlight. The righteous will live by faith. This is the NIV version. The King James Version says, the just shall live by faith. Now, this is very important to us. What does that mean? What that means is that it's not just enough that we believe in God and we accept God's free gift of salvation. That's just the A point. To get from Z, from B to Z, this part really applies to us. Now, what does that mean? It says the righteous will live by faith. What that means is that as a Christian, as you're developing, as you're living life, everything that God says in the Bible concerning you, you have to receive it. I have to receive it by faith. Again, the same kind of faith. The same kind of faith that is not really based on your, well, let me not say, it's not based on being qualified for it. Do you understand? It's not based on any qualifications for this kind of faith, to live as a, to live this kind of faith. So what that means is that if God says that you are his righteousness in Christ, then you are righteous. If God says that you can prophesy, then you can prophesy. If God says that you can hear his voice, then you can hear his voice. If God says that by his stripes you are healed, then you are healed. If God says, like he says in Proverbs chapter, the one we prayed from this morning, I think 10:24, he says the 24b, he says the desire of the righteous will be granted. That means every desire that you have in according to God's will, you want to, when you pray about it, you believe that you will receive that. Well, it doesn't always appear automatically, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that to live the Christian life, we must really, in a very simple way, look at what the Bible says and apply it to our lives. Simply, I'm telling you. I remember a while ago, and you know, we're in headquarters then, as we do, and apostle will be like, God said this to me, God said this to me, or I saw this, I saw, I'm like, this must be a real special gift, you know what I mean? But one thing he kept telling us is that, look, God can speak to you as well. It's very simple. But obviously, you know, you just say, well, simple to you, you know, because you're an apostle. Then I began to realize that really God can actually speak to every single individual. Simply. It's just how we hear. Do you understand? In fact, God can, speaks to even young children and all this. It's just how we hear. Do you understand? And I began to see that really God can speak to me as well. Do you understand? And based on that, there are times that God would, you know, tell me things, God would show me things. And I'll be like, man, that was easy. Not that I'm discrediting it. Do you understand? That is like, you know, but just faith. Not that I've done anything. Do you understand? So what I'm saying is that every one of us, the giftings in every one of us, everything God has said about us, we must accept it by faith on a day-by-day basis. Do you understand? Now, so that's number two. Number three, why do we need faith? Why is faith required? And the last one I'll look at on that, why is faith required, is we need faith for the afterlife. We need faith for when we all depart from the earth. I was telling someone, I think I say this quite a bit, that one of the biggest problems of man is death. What really happens after death? People will say you come back reincarnated. Some people will say you are just dust and all that stuff. But we know that's not true. That is not true because Jesus died and resurrected again and tells us what happens after life. Now, why do we need faith for when we die? Which is the critical part. Now, we need faith because Jesus said a couple of things for when we die. We're all, you know, we're not going to die, anybody, you know, soon here. But why do we need? Let's look at John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, will live, even though he dies. So Jesus was saying that when we all die, anyone that believes in him, though he dies physically, will live with him. That means when we die, we will be with Christ. Now, do you believe that? Let's look at another one. It says, John chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. And he says here as well, it says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I'll stop there. He also says, look, I am the one that gives eternal life. Anyone who is in me will not perish. Let's look at another one. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I'll stop there. So we need faith for when we die. I remember there was a time I was in, this was a long time ago, and I was working with a company then. I think I was back in, I won't mention the name of the country, in Africa somewhere, and I used to go on the plane a lot. And I tell you, those planes were like buses. They were not like proper planes. I tell you, they were like what you call this, jump on it. I mean, it was just ridiculous, I tell you. Looking back now, those things should have been grounded, but people have to get around. And I was a Christian then. I just become a Christian. And I remember that in that plane, as we were going, there were a couple of other people there. I'd gone to work in another part of that country with a couple of my colleagues. And we got in that plane, I can tell you, when we took off, after about a couple of seconds, the first one we got was that the plane just dropped a couple of meters, like this. I saw grown people. I was a grown guy then, you know. I saw grown people. The guy beside me just put his head on his hands on his head like this and was almost crying. You know what I mean? In fact, there was another instance. I was in the plane with a lot of celebrities, actually, from that country. I think they were coming to England as well. And, you know, similar occasions, I saw people who were not ready to die. Not that I was ready to die. And that's when you now saw the true picture of everybody's, you know. People were shouting, not that I'm making fun of them, but what I'm just saying is that as a Christian, you need to have the faith that when you go, do you understand? Not that you go now, Jesus is going to be waiting for you. I mean, there are experiences that people say that what will happen when we die is that there will be angels waiting for us to escort us to where Christ is. So as a believer goes, however, you know, he goes, angels will be there waiting for you. Do you understand? To take you into the presence of the Father. Do you believe that? Do you understand? So what I'm saying is that we need faith at the beginning of our journey as Christians. We need faith to live this life. And when we die, we need to have the faith that Christ is waiting for us. Do you understand? So we begin to see that faith is really important. It's not just one of those buzzwords that we use. And what do I mean by this faith, as I described earlier? It's just a simple trust that all the things that God has said, you trust that he will bring them to pass. Do you understand? Simply, how he does it, well, that's another question. I'm not quite sure. Faith. We'll look at the last part, next 5 minutes, and we'll close. So I've said, what is faith? Why is faith required? Now, we'll look at how do we get this faith? Very simple. The first one, I'll look at three things. We get faith from hearing, listening to the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This is NIV. The King James Version says, faith comes by hearing. No, you can leave it on NIV. And hearing by the word of God. So we see that, hang on, all these things that I'm talking about, It's not saying faith comes by fasting. It's not saying faith comes by attending church every Sunday, although you should. Otherwise, pastor will be ringing you, texting you, and finding out, where are you? No. What I'm saying here is that it says it comes from hearing the word of God, simply. Why is it so simple? Why is it that from reading the Bible with an open heart or hearing a message like this, I can have faith in God? I don't know how that works, but apparently that's how it works. Do you understand? That's how it works. I remember there are times that I'm not even sure about what's going on around me. And I open the Bible sometimes and I'm reading and I come across a couple of scriptures that maybe I've read before. And suddenly those scriptures just jump out at me, so to speak, allegorically. And automatically faith comes. And my trust just skyrockets in that particular situation. And I know at that point that, look, everything is going to be fine. Do you understand? I remember a while ago, a couple of months ago, that I was talking with Dickiness that there were certain things that we wanted to do. And it seemed like everything was already settled. You know, we had said, this is this and that is that. And as I was studying one morning, I was reading a particular part of the Bible and something struck me in that word. And what God told me through that word was that, from reading the Bible in the morning, what God told me from that word was, something is going to happen. You're going to have a slight challenge. But don't worry about that challenge. I've sorted it. And in my mind, I was like, God, why do I even have to have a challenge in the first place? I don't need a challenge. I don't really need a challenge. And that was it. And I, true to the letter, for the next couple of weeks, I had that challenge. But I knew that I had heard a word from God that just go through due process. At the end, it's sorted. So I was still encouraged. And I went through it from just reading the Bible. Now, a couple of other things. How do we get faith? I said from listening to the Bible, well, hearing the word of God. Now, two other things, and we'll just end. Now, the next thing is that you might ask, I know loads of people who have heard the word of God. In fact, they're professors who are theologians in the Bible, and they're not Christians. They can quote every part of the Bible academically, but they don't believe it, so it doesn't work for them. The next thing we want to look at is that it's not just enough to hear the word, but you must trust, and I must trust that word. Let's look at Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, 138. I'll just quote it. It says, he has exalted his... Okay. It says, you have exalted above... Okay, let me just see. Okay, I'll just read. This is NIV. It says, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. The King James Version says, you have exalted your word above your name. Now, that means that we must really trust God's word. We might not understand everything fully, but if God... We're looking at the Bible from the heart that, look, I trust God's word. I'm not quite sure how everything hangs together, but I trust what God's word is saying. I might not be experiencing it at this time. I might not really understand how it works, but I trust it anyway. And I guess the analogy I'll give is this. For example, you get up in the morning, and if you drive, you get into your car and you start your car and you drive to church or you drive to work and all that. Now, do you understand what's going on in the car? Do you understand the whole electrical system in the car? No, you don't. I don't anyway. But what you understand is that, look, when I put my keys in the car and I start it, although I'm not quite sure of how everything hangs together, it will work. The same way, we might not be sure of how everything hangs together from God's word, but we trust it. And as we make that conscious effort to really trust God's word, as we read it and not reading it as a story, then faith begins to work for us. The last thing I'll look at is, so I said, how do we get faith? Hearing God's word, trusting that that word we hear is true. And the last is acting on the word. And that's from the book of James chapter 2, verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, what does that mean before I close? That means that God expects you to make a move. And I think Sister Remy was saying that this morning, that look, it's not just enough to desire something. That's the first point, and that's good. But you need to make a move as well. Do you understand? Based on what you believe. We're not saying just, you know, brag it on and say, okay, I've read this, and, you know, I'm going to just, you know, force myself to make it work. Pastor has said this. Or No. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you need to make a move on what you believe. On what you believe. So if you don't believe something yet, then read more about it till you believe it. Then act on it. Do you understand? And I believe that, you know, as we do this, the Bible tells us that our faith will grow. Just to round up, I was just telling, I think a while ago, when we were in London, and God asked us to move to Bristol, you know, for this church, we could have said, oh, you know, God, praise God, and stayed in London, just doing what we're doing. You know, I always throw this in at the end. You know, every time we go to the headquarters, I'm telling you, it's like, for a pastor, it's a pastor's dream. Why? Because when you get in there, you have like a special seat in front. And as you're walking, now people say, good morning, pastor. You know, all this, you know, coming in the morning to set up mics, you know, kneeling, you know, and all that. None of that stuff. You just bounce in. You know what I mean? And and even for the members, you know, the air conditioned, you know, everything is, you know, you're calm. Apostle is there just, and it's, but we could have stayed there. And everything God spoke to us would have just died down. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be doing anything. Our lives would just have carried on like that. We wouldn't have, you know, you'll have been nice, but the faith that we probably professed with regards to God's plan for our lives will have been dead because no accompanying action. Do you understand? So everything that you believe, you need to make a move. I need to make a move. And as you begin to make that move, things will begin to change and your lives will be transformed. Let us pray.